Morning.
Good morning.
So I'm here today to provide you with my semi-annual update on the progress of our settlement requirements for HUD and the Department of Justice. This progress is a result of the collaborative efforts of Stephanie Hansen, Everett Moore, Vince Robertson, Brad Whaley, Todd, and myself. A few examples of the actions taken under the U.S. Department of Justice consent decree are under Section 3, 13A through D. This section pertains to the creation of an affordable and fair housing marketing plan. To date, we've still not received approval from the Department of Justice, but we've continued to proceed anyway as if it was approved. For example, we were asked to participate in the PLUS process through the Office of State Planning for housing projects in the county's jurisdiction. My office has been submitting comments since late last year. We emphasize that the county recommends the creation of diverse and mixed-income communities and encourages developers to affirmatively market their housing units to diverse populations. And then if you recall, we hosted the inaugural Sussex County Homebuyer Fair in September at Dell Tech in Georgetown. The event was a great success with over 75 individuals attending and 43 sponsors and exhibitors participated. We've already initiated the planning process for this year's fair, which has been scheduled for Saturday, September 26, 2015. Section 4, 15, and 16 require me to review and receive complaints of any housing discrimination against the county. In the last 6 months, there have been no complaints filed. We will be submitting our fifth semi-annual compliance report on all of our fair housing activities and efforts on June 19th to both HUD and the Department of Justice. Section 6, 21 through 23, pertains to the annual fair housing training. And as you know, we work very closely with the Department of Human Resources to ensure that any new employee hired in a department that's affiliated with the administration, housing, land use, and zoning receives fair housing training within 30 days of their effective date of hire. In the last 6 months, we've made sure that three new employees received that training. And then, as you're aware, we've also encountered some delays regarding our annual mandatory fair housing training for staff, elected officials, board members, and commissioners. The third training should have taken place in late February or early March. However, the Department of Justice did not approve the trainer that we've used for the last 2 years. We've faced some delays while working with HUD to determine an appropriate training organization, and we are still attempting to coordinate with that organization to schedule a date. The training will likely take place in late June or early July at this point. Section 7, the county was required to create an affordable and fair housing webpage, which we launched almost 2 years ago at this point, and we continue to work closely with IT to post our compliance reports, public hearings, meetings, and events regularly. And we will continue to be updated with affordable housing updates and our progress moving forward. Regarding HUD's voluntary compliance agreement, since the establishment of the compliance agreement on November 28, 2012, HUD has issued two responses to our submitted activities and progress on the requirements. We've been trying since December to meet with HUD to discuss some of our concerns as well as theirs regarding compliance. After months of failed scheduling attempts, a scheduled meeting last week was abruptly canceled. Regardless, we continue to work through the requirements that we have before us. Section 3, 7, this section requires the county to review and evaluate the 1998, 2003, and 2011 analysis of impediments to fair housing and develop a plan to address those impediments. HUD included comments to our plan in their most recent letter from November. We requested additional information from HUD to address some of their comments, but we have not yet received additional clarity or guidance. We've continued to implement several proposed activities, including, for example, to expand access to county programs and services for individuals with limited English proficiency. The county has contracted with a language interpretation service in February. County staff with public interaction have quick reference guides at every phone to allow for a quick call to an interpreter in the event an LEP individual walks in or calls for service. It's available 24/7, 365 days a year, and gives us access to over 240 languages. We were also asked to review a recent statewide study assessing housing needs for people with disabilities in Delaware to determine what, if any, actions Sussex County could take to further promote housing opportunities for individuals with disabilities. As you know, Sussex County already funds us for emergency housing repairs, and a significant amount of that funding goes to helping individuals install ramps, walk-in showers, grab bars, and lifts. And the report indicated how important it is to keep people in home-based care instead of institutional care. It's much more inexpensive. So we hope to start tracking the work that we're already doing and reporting that to the state to indicate just how much we are actually doing for the individuals with disabilities here in Sussex County. Another major barrier identified is that individuals with disabilities have a lack of asset building and financial literacy. So we plan to engage with partners like the Delaware Financial Literacy Institute, NCAL, and First State to determine how we can expand existing financial literacy curriculum in Sussex County to focus on individuals with disability. A final option to consider would be to offer financial support to existing resources here in Sussex County. Two important programs are Money Follows the Person, which assists individuals that are transitioning from long-term care facilities to home-based care. And also the Delaware Aging and Disability Resource Center is a one-stop shop for aging and disability information and resources ranging from counseling to housing to service enrollment. And lastly, Section 3.7 is regarding our impacted community study. We were required to perform an evaluation of 10 rural communities in the county, and this evaluation would determine the prioritized secondary infrastructure and community service needs of each individual community. We added 4 additional communities that we felt should be in the study, so there are a total of 14. Once we evaluate the data, the county will have a basis from which to prioritize investments and requests for federal funding. To refresh, the county's our office submitted a funding request to DSHA as part of our CDBG application for fiscal year 13 to assist with the data collection of this study. We were awarded $50,000 for the study. We then issued a request for proposals for the data collection in February 2014. We received 5 proposals, but all of them far exceeded our budget for the study. So we recently updated our document and requested bids from 7 qualified consultant organizations. Bids were due June 5th, and we received 2 very qualified proposals within our budget. We plan to meet next week with a review panel to select the organization, and we will be under contract by June 30th. We've actually completed a significant amount of the data collection internally in our office with staff and interns, and we plan to finish all of that data collection this summer and then hand over the data to the consultant. And that's all I have. Sorry.
Thank you very much for your update.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, may I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
If I may, sir. Mrs. Nauman, you mentioned earlier regarding some of these delays because of HUD. You know, you mentioned that they had abruptly canceled a meeting this last week. Do you have any inkling of why there's an issue there with HUD, and what's the true issue?
We just will continue to try to communicate. I mean, we reach out to them frequently for additional guidance, and that's why we figured an in-person meeting would be really helpful for us rather than going back and forth by email or compliance report. So we're just going to continue to try to have that meeting at some point soon to hammer all of this out before the end of this term comes.
So since December, you've been trying to?
That's crazy.
So
we actually, in our December compliance report, we actually formally requested the meeting, and we just haven't even been able to.
It doesn't appear that we're a high priority.
I know.
Is this something ever we can write a letter to the judge and just kind of give them an update on where we, you know, not just FYI to the judge?
I think Stephanie has been keeping everyone informed that need to be, and I think that if that would be appropriate, it would be best coming from her.
Yep. You might say that it's well to leave things alone. When things are well, just leave them alone. Let them go. I say, during compliance, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Mr. Wilson.
Question to the council.
Yes.
I'm sorry to know you
were
done.
The other question I have as it relates to, I know you mentioned some things regarding, you know, affordable housing, and they're wanting us to do certain things regarding that, you know, open up more opportunities to more people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a perspective from your viewpoint, you know, what we as a county or even perhaps even as a council to provide more incentive to developers/builders to get more affordable housing for more people? That's a loaded question, I know. And maybe you can come back at some point.
Yeah, I think it's probably something to address on a different note. There's certainly existing programs that we have. You know, we have the two inclusionary zoning programs, which have kind of died since the market crashed. We have the moderately priced housing unit program and the rental program. And so I think there's ways to ultimately craft those to make them much more appealing to developers as well as home buyers. But the market conditions have just changed so much since they were initially approved that we just really need to kind of rework those a little bit.
Hey, Rob, it's probably more of the headache of having to deal with those programs. There's all kinds of programs out there for it. It's just the red tape you have to go through to get there. To create another government program isn't going to make the marketplace respond. It's too much. It's just not worth the effort for these guys to do it.
And the question is not geared towards more government intervention, more really free market intervention, meaning what could we do as a council, if anything, to be able to provide more of an incentive or more reasoning for the developers and builders out there to provide more affordable housing.
I think a lot of times it comes down to funding, too. I mean, the nonprofits, you know, you saw Habitat here today. I think it's just one of those things we can always, if we can't create or don't have the capacity to create something new internally, we can always support the existing efforts of the people that are already doing great things with affordable housing here in Sussex County, which right. I think we do that to a good extent, but it could certainly be expanded.
Mm-hmm. So we comply with all the requests from DOJ and HUD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was
the best that we know we are and that we
well,
can.
Well, I mean,
yes,
okay, I want to make sure we do mm-hmm. comply with all. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I just got a quick question. You mentioned we're giving financial support or we're trying to or coordinating anything. I'm just wondering, what is our obligation to provide those kind of services? Because at the county level, we never have done that in the past. I'm just wondering how much time it's taken you and our staff to try to find financial support for the. It just seems crazy that we're doing things that it's kind of like what the school districts have taken on all these issues that are beyond their realm of what they should be doing.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering.
It's definitely this study has or this case has definitely expanded the scope of our office by.
Yeah.
Tenfold. So, you know, certainly some of the things that I was suggesting are just ways that without a lot of effort from us, even if it's just, you know, a small monetary support of existing resources, that wouldn't necessarily, you know, burden our office with a significant.
Well, it's a slippery slope, and I just don't want to see the county start, like, again, going into providing all these services. Next thing you know, we'll have some kind of office upstairs for, you know, financial advice, and then we'll have somebody like.
I'm relying, especially for financial literacy, I'm entirely relying on already, yes, other agencies that do that already, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson.
May I encourage you?
I triggered something.
Look at those, try to put them high on your list.
What's that?
The veterans that come back from one arms and try to help them at home and put them high list, high on your list.
We are for the home repairs and everything. That's one of our qualifying factors. And then we have, as you guys signed on last week, to the mayor's challenge to end veteran homelessness. So,
thank you,
ma'am.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good job.
Julie Cooper.
You're back.
Hello, plumbing station, metal cable replacement, bid rejection. Wow.
She's walking.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have Rodney Marvel with me, the assistant.
We noticed him.
Environmental Services.
We noticed him.
He's your backup man.
Yeah.
You're in good shape.
Yes, ma'am. You're up.
Okay. I'm here about the Henlopen Acres Pumping Station's electrical cable replacement project. It was placed out for bid, and bids were open on March 25th. However, only one bid was received, and it was considerably higher. The price was considerably higher than the engineer's estimate. So the engineering department recommends that the council reject this bid. And the engineering department also recommends that the project be rebid with taking steps to enlarge the bidding pool and also to reduce the risk to bidders by doing some pre-bidding subsurface electrical investigations.
We would do that, pre-bidding?
We are looking at, there are a lot of ifs with this.
Right.
Conditions of conduits and things like
sure.
that.
Sure.
there was a lot of contingencies built into the original bid, thus the higher cost.
Okay, things so we actually may not need.
Some, more investigation and figure out what we've got, so it's more, it's a little bit clearer for the bidder when they come in.
And it's something we can't do in-house, too overwhelming for us.
We don't have the equipment. Truthfully, yeah. We have boom trucks and so forth, but when you're pulling 4,000 feet of 4-aught copper, we just don't have the directional stuff and so forth to do it. Okay. But we're looking, I'm hoping we can get a pretty good price about getting the stuff stripped out.
Mm-hmm. You have a motion, ma'am? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson.
I recommend this, and I've said it before. When you don't have enough bidders, get on the phone, call these people, bid in the pass.
We thought we had bidders, but they kind of got scared off once they got into it.
We'll cover all the bases.
I always do
not
that.
Only advertisements, but phone calls, faxes, emails, whatever we have to do.
Well, a little bit as I run, I pick up the phone, call 4 or 5 people.
Yep.
A lot of times people are not aware that
yep.
things are going
that's
on.
That's right.
Gift card. Try gift cards.
So, I mean, Mr. President, one other.
Charlotte.
Why is it that we only have one bid? I mean, in the
but
end.
But we've been trying to determine that, and we discussed it with a couple of the contractors that did not provide a bid, and we're trying to iron out any issues they had with the bid documents
to make it
more concise and so that they have less unknowns.
Is that the concern? Is it our contract? Is it just the uncertainty of the actual work itself regarding, and they don't want
it's
exposure or expenses or
yeah. a lot of it? We were trying to do everything without cutting the road. If any of the conduits were bad, there's 2 4-inch conduits that run parallel the whole length of Tidewater.
The main drag in Hennepin Acres, right?
And,
there is a main drag.
If they can't get the wire out if the conduit is collapsed. It was put in the early 80s. There's a lot of ifs, don't know. The wire was replaced in the mid 90s before, and they left the old wire in the one conduit. The other conduit is live. We're gonna go in now and try to pull out the old wiring so we can see if the conduit is, at least we have one clear path to go. If we do, it's going to simplify things for the bidders. If not, there may be some digging up and some repaving to do, which is considerable cost. And that's part of this. We just didn't define, I guess, enough. There were too many variables for them to give us a good price.
Yeah, I understand. They looking at it, and they're afraid, I think, if you get into it, it could really escalate.
They could lose
what
money.
Has to be done. Yeah, I understand.
Exactly.
Okay.
You have a motion, ma'am?
Yes. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the bid for contract 1412 Henlopen Pumping Station's electrical cable replacement be rejected and that the contract be rebid with efforts being taken to increase the bidding pool.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Mm-hmm. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Any questions on a motion?
Yes, I'm wondering, Mrs. what's our Deaver. Deadline? When do we have to have this?
Well, we can't work in that area before Labor Day, so we want to bid it out this summer and have them start after Labor Day.
So, but we have to have it done by when?
Well,
currently, the whole reason behind this is the cabling is failing. They spliced it in the ground back in the day. Why, I don't know.
Okay.
They did it that way. We've had several splices burn up. I'd rather, because well, we have one feed for all four pumping stations.
This is maintenance that we know what's necessary is what you're saying.
I'm afraid we're going to have a failure.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know
we're
it.
We're trying to be ahead of the curve.
We're hoping that it's not an emergency situation.
There
I
you
hope
go.
So.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Thank you.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver, did you vote yes?
Yes, I voted yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Next is grant request. Mrs. Jennings, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first one is Greenwood Police Department. They're requesting funds for their 2015 National Night Out. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Wilson.
I'll do the same.
Motion, second. Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Wilson's Council Mac account to the Greenwood Police Department for their National Night Out event. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Georgetown Playground and Parks requesting $3,000 to install metal benches at the Bedford Street Park. The benches can be used year-round, but will be used extensively by residents during the Town of Georgetown summer concerts. There have been no past grants to this organization.
Well, I think I've heard from some of the elected officials there that they really need help on this project. I'm just my
help?
Input.
Are you help?
Just my input.
Are you going to help?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't talk about who.
What's the pleasure of council?
It's an important project. I'm just relaying the information to you. You can play games if you want to and make jokes.
Don't know where.
But we're trying to do business here.
Okay.
I have one question, Mr. President.
Wait a minute. Do we have a motion first?
Motion, I'll make anybody? A motion.
You got a motion.
For what? How much are you going to give them, or who's going to give it, or whatever?
Oh, okay. $1,500.
$1,500.
We're trying to figure out who else is going to give.
But you'll give $1,500. Okay.
That's good. It's good.
Anyone else care to participate?
Yeah, I'll put in $250.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You put in $250.
Anyone else?
I don't even know what my balance is. She was gone last week. So I'm going to pass on this one,
okay.
Personally.
So we have a motion, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Mm-hmm.
To grant... the Town of Georgetown for playground and park benches, $1,500 from Mr. Wilson's account, $250 Mrs. Deaver's account, for a total of $1,750. Question on the motion?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
And that is, I'm seeing at the bottom of this request that this is from Georgetown and Playground and Park, Inc. Mm-hmm. This is not coming from the town itself. This is from some other entity. Some other nonprofit, I'm presuming.
That's correct. It's a separate nonprofit, but they work in coordination with the Town of Georgetown.
Okay.
So it's Georgetown Playground.
But it is for the town, though.
It is for the.
It benefits the town.
It benefits the town, but it's not affiliated with the town.
Are you giving them money?
They work with the town.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to give them money?
I, as I said, I think I don't even know what the balance is.
Okay.
In my own personal.
So our
account,
motion is $1,750 uh-huh. to the Georgetown Playground and Park, Inc. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Next one is Georgetown Little League Baseball is requesting support to improve the lighting on their fields. There is no specific amount requested. The project will cost around $15,000. Last grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Wilson.
I'll do the same.
Second.
Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Cole to grant $1,000 from Mr. Wilson's account to the Georgetown Little League Baseball for field improvements. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Georgetown Historical Society is requesting $2,500 to help with some unexpected fees in the construction of a building to house their carriage collection. Last grant received was $2,500 from Mr. Wilson.
I'll do the same.
Second.
That's how much?
Marble Museum there?
$2,500.
Oh, $2,500.
Take care of that.
Nice.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
To grant $2,500 to the Georgetown Historical Society for project costs from Mr. Wilson's council bank account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arnett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next one's the Town of Blades is requesting funds for their 2015 National Night Out. There's no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Vincent.
Somebody make that motion.
Make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver to grant $500 from my council bank account to the Town of Blades for the Police Department National Night Out event. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will get the motion carried.
Lewis Historical Society is requesting support to continue to engage the community in Lewis history. This past year, they have seen growth in educational programming, improvements to their main campus, and additions to their collections. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $750 from Ms. Deaver.
Yeah, I'd like to do that again.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second. Mr. Cole to grant $750 from Mrs. Deaver's council manic account to the Lewis Historical Society for operating expenses. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Last one is the Coastal Concerts is requesting support of their mission to promote classical music. Every dollar contributed helps present talent and to sustain programs that they afford members of the community the opportunity to experience and appreciate classical music. Mm-hmm. There's no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500, which was $250 for Mr. Cole and $250 for Ms. Deaver.
I'll make that motion.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Second. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 to the Coastal Concert for program cost, being $250 from Mr. Cole's account and $250 from Mr. Deaver's account. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are two. The first is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 0.74 acre more or less, and is filed on behalf of John Floyd Lingo, and it's Ms. Deaver's district.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
And the next one's also Ms. Deaver's district. It's an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.033 acres more or less, and is filed on behalf of Thomas K. and Judy L. Muncy.
Mrs. Deaver introduced it.
That's all, Mr. President.
Council members' comments. Any comments from council?
I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
A while back, I asked you gentlemen, what is the vision for this district here, this district, or the Eastern Sussex, or the whole county? In fact, whatever vision you have, I'd like to know. What I'm looking at is, I think we're headed for the eastern part of Sussex to be very urban with a few farms. I don't know, what you think of that, but that's what I'm seeing happening. And I would like to know what the vision is. We don't seem to have many guidelines.
Any more comments from council?
Yes, if I may, Mr. President. I know that, I have been probably a little firm, if you would, or at least it has been suggested I have been a little firm regarding DLDOT at times. As it relates to the infrastructure that we have here in Sussex County, and as we all know, most of our concerns from our constituents are related to that, as it relates to traffic, as Ms. Councilwoman Deaver just shared. And I would hope that as our Dover counterparts are continuing their budget dialogue, that I am hopeful that they will not steal from the Transportation Trust Fund again this year. Because since the beginning, they have, they meaning the Dover legislature as a whole, have taken $2.8 billion from that trust fund to balance their budgets over the years. So I do have a concern that they are considering taking $40 million from this current fiscal year away from the Transportation Trust Fund, so they can balance their budget. And I think that is a big concern. And we, as Sussex Countyans, should hope that they make good decisions and not take from the Transportation Trust Fund yet again.
And who else is going to speak up for it if we don't?
Well,
our representatives, of course, but...
I just that is a history of an issue that we have out of Dover, and I want to publicly share that concern here. And I think that... and I will tell you, DLDOT, I believe that they have a very good, they do a very good job with the constraints that they have. I feel that they are handcuffed at times, budgetary constraints. And I think that it is all based on the decisions from the legislature and the elected officials coming out of Dover. And so for me, I would like to think that perhaps they can consider other areas consider other areas other than that Transportation Trust Fund. That should be earmarked specific for transportation.
And I wonder if our delegation might be willing to consider backing such a thing.
I don't know. Perhaps after this, they will perhaps consider that. But $2.8 billion since the beginning, and we think about that kind of money being put into our infrastructure here in the state, we would not have as many concerns today as we do if that were not the case.
More comments from council?
I'll just say, if there is Mrs. money Deaver, for roads, I hope it comes to Sussex County.
Any more comments? We'll entertain a motion, I guess, to recess until 12 o'clock for our workshop with the Conservation District at the West Complex to discuss drainage. Entertain a motion. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr.
Yes.
Cole, to recess until 12 o'clock noon for our workshop. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? I believe the motion carried. We're now in recess till 12 noon at the West Complex.
And that's